The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. Worldwide, I mean, all over the place.
All over the world.
And the world wants it. The world loves it. He's Kevin Stanfield. I'm Claude Jennings. The Washington Redskins fall to the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans, 34-31. For all but 2 minutes of the game, it seemed as if this was going to be a win for the Redskins. And what happens? I almost felt like it was going to be similar to the Seattle game, where they would control it. Seattle made a push. But late in the game, the Redskins, they wanted to do to win the game. And that did not happen. The total opposite happened. Drew Brees played totally average. A Case Keenum-like performance from Drew Brees until the last two minutes in overtime. He played like Drew Brees, and the Redskins.
That was a self-inflicted wound. That was self-inflicted.
Yes.
Now, he was un-Brees-like for three quarters. But when we got the big lead, right, when we hit 31 points, it seemed like they changed the defensive strategy. They were putting a lot of heat on Drew Brees early. They were sending safeties. They were sending linebackers. People were hitting them legally and illegally. They were still making some contact.
Both were in favor of.
Yeah, we don't mind, right? We don't know no mayhem or maiming anybody, but
right.
Yeah, just let him know you were there. If he has an opposite color than you, then, you know, introduce yourself to him. But toward the end of the game, we decided to change that philosophy. We played a little scared. This is a future Hall of Fame quarterback we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel less bad about Brees doing this to you than Case Keenum of all people, right?
So, right, exactly.
You know,
so,
well, L is an L.
Exactly. And the thing is, you don't want them to get back. The Skins up by two scores with 3 minutes left. I get it. And the NFL came out and said, yeah, you know what, that intentional grounding. Anyone watching the game knew it was clearly a miscommunication between the quarterback and the receiver.
I disagree. That's intentional grounding. He, you know, this is what Kirk has made some comments in the past few weeks about the process, about how he goes through the process,
right.
Goes through his progressions, right? And this is what, you know, when you get a quarterback.
Wait.
Hold on, Kirk. I know you, Captain Kirk.
I know.
But when you go through the process, sometimes now, mm-hmm. sometimes, like when you draw those X's and O's on that blackboard, or the whiteboards now, the high tech stuff, or even the Surface Pro.
Right. Exactly.
But sometimes those guys aren't where those X's are, right? You know what I'm saying?
Kirk's right, and so you have to read those. Yeah,
he's a guy who throws to where the X is,
but
instead of throwing to where the guy is.
Right, but I don't think he threw that ball trying to get away from the rush. Like, I literally think he thought that's where Crowder was going to make his cut.
I agree. He threw to where the X was in his brain. In his brain, X is there. That's what. And because X wasn't there, ball went to an area where there was no receiver, which is textbook.
By the law, yeah, it was definitely.
We gotta go by the law.
Other than that, we have lawlessness.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I think that it was clear that it was miscommunication,
yes.
Which led to the intentional grounding. Well, one way or the other, I don't think it should even have come down to that.
Shouldn't have.
The way this game was panning out, it should not have even come down. So, you know, we could talk about the call. You can talk about, you know, well, the NFL overturned. Well, that's not fair. I don't care about it.
Doesn't matter.
When you're up by as much as the Skins were up with 3 minutes left in that game, you win that game.
You know
you
what?
Don't let it come down to a call. And even after that, you still had a chance to still win that game.
Yeah, you had a couple
so
of chances.
So there's no excuses.
But you know where it came down to?
What's that?
Came down to a yard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Came down to a yard. And I thought about that, man, because it did. They, you know, you can blame, I mean, whatever resemblance of an offensive line you have right now, you know, it's clearly their fault, period. But, I mean, you know, even if they're third string, right, you know, this is their chance to make it to the second and first string, right? This is their chance. But these guys have been taught this influence zone blocking scheme so long, and even the running backs have been taught not to hit the hole, kind of wait for the hole,
wait for a cutback lane to open up.
Yeah, they've been taught this. Now, let me tell you an old man story here that I heard personally. recently heard from a couple of Hall of Fame guys,
okay.
John Riggins mm-hmm. and Russ Grimm.
Nice.
I believe it was a Cowboys game. It was the Cowboys game where they were, you know, eventually going to win the Super Bowl, but it was a short yardage situation. Third and one, they call one of those gut plays, which they used to call back in the old man days when you get a ball and run to the left and run to uh-huh. the right, uh-huh. 40 or 41, you know, depending on 40 or 50, left or right, you know, that type thing. And they called a play. Riggins said, he told Grimm, he said, Grimmy, I'm coming right up your back. Just be ready for it. Right? You know? And he said, Grimm said, okay. And Grimm said, they called the ball. They called the snap. Before he knew it, it was just explosion. He just blacked out, right? He didn't know what happened. And he said when he came to himself, his eyes opened and he looked, and Riggins' face mask was facing his face mask. And Riggins looked him in the eye and said, bullseye. So this is what I'm saying, man. This is what we're missing. Yes, I'm reminiscing. Yes, I'm an old guy, but you know what? We were winning when I was younger, right? Yeah. So sometimes it's just a matter of brute force. Yeah. When you need a yard, it's whatever it takes to get you a yard.
Because that's also what led to that Drew Brees that last scoring drive. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it is. You know, give me a yard till you get some guys and give me a yard on this team. It's not going to change.
Exactly. Right. You seem fired up today.
Yeah, man, whoa. That's a yard, man. You
know, come fired on.
Look, Claude. Now, I'm 6'2", weigh exactly 201 pounds. Uh-huh. I'll give you a yard.
I'll give you a yard if you need it.
I'll give you a yard for $1 million.
Yeah, I'll give you 2 yards for $1 million.
Really,
well, wow. Kevin's fired up, which means you'll be great for our new segment that we're going to do, maybe in the third segment of this show, our new feature called Unthanksgiving.
Yeah.
Exactly, because Thanksgiving's coming up. Thursday, Skins and Giants. We'll talk about how many people are actually going to show up to this game.
Yeah, we'll get to that, man. We've got so much to talk about.
But then what we're going to do, instead of talking about things that we're thankful for, we're going to talk about things that we're not thankful for.
That's right.
On Thanksgiving. That's coming up a little bit later in the show. So, you know, it's interesting because during the game, I was really, I wouldn't say excited, kind of pleasantly surprised and happy about the aggressive nature of some of the play calling. It was an early 4th and 6, I want to say, a 4th and 3 mm-hmm. that the team went for and got. And then the fake punt. I was like, yeah, this is what you do when you're, what, 4-5 and the season kind of hangs in the balance for the most part. You do things like that. You try to play aggressive. Mm-hmm. You try to shake it up a little bit. And I was happy about that.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's coming a little bit too late. But, yeah, anytime you can deviate from the norm, but you have to still establish something first, mm-hmm. which they did by – I guess they really didn't have any choice by deciding they were going to give the ball to P. Ryan and eat up some clock and mm-hmm. keep the ball out of Drew Brees' hands and not give him a chance to get on track and all. And yeah, it was working good. For the period of time that we've been without the Golden Boy, who's now the head coach out west, McVay, mm-hmm. I think Jay Gruden has done a pretty good job calling the plays. I mean, considering right. what he's had to work with, I think that he's let's say mature enough to realize that the running game is still very effective, even if you're not playing Madden football, right? You can use a good running game, and you got to be able to mix it up. I think he is slow to utilize all of his weapons. I see that, like now that he is forced to use Dotson as a primary threat, that it's working out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think they called a pretty good game. I like the imagination. I think that there's more of that where that came from. I think they tried a couple of these weird inside reversals with Crowder a couple of times, right?
Right.
I like the play where they don't give him the ball and maybe use him as a pass receiver.
Yeah.
But there's no reason in the world to give Crowder. He's not Tyreek Hill.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He is just not that fast. You can't do that. But they're showing some effort, some imagination.
Right, absolutely. Kirk Cousins, by the way, 22 for 32, 322 yards, 3 touchdowns. You know, again, one of those performances where you're like, yeah, you know, he looks like, wow, he's getting it done. And then, but when you need it to get done, and you need the ball in your quarterback's hands to make good decisions and to win this game and to close it out, he didn't get it done. And here's the thing: it's weird and it's a mixed bag because it's not as if Kurt has not gotten it done before when they needed him to get it done. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's gotten it done before. And so I don't know whether this is a situation where he's going to build a reputation as a guy who can't get it done, even though we've seen him get it done before.
Yeah, but if you look back at those times, and I'm not trying to bash Kirk here because he had a decent game. You put 31 points up in the NFL. Well, in today's NFL, it might be a question.
Yeah, I mean, 22 points. For 32, 322, three touchdowns.
That should win you a game.
Mm-hmm.
That should
mm-hmm.
win you a game, except, you know, when sometimes you might need 324.
Right.
you know, so you can't bash Kirk. But you look at the comebacks. You look at, like, the you like that comeback against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
How you
like me now?
Yeah. You look at the realism behind that, the Tampa Bay game. Tampa Bay was an undisciplined, over-penalized team, and that led to a lot of like third down opportunities that the Brigandine goal did not convert, but because of a personal foul or this or that, Tampa Bay gave them the ball back. So mm-hmm. Kirk had a lot to do with it. It wasn't all Captain Kirk. The win in Seattle, mm-hmm. great win, but it wasn't like it was a winning drive. He threw two passes, right? Dotson had to fully extend to catch one, right? You know, he's part of the machine.
Which is another thing that was pretty good this game was the fact that I saw a couple of 50-50 balls go up, and you know, at least trying to go deep to Dotson.
You know, as a last resort, right? You know, and that goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, you can't, a 50-50 ball is just that, 50-50, right? You can't draw 50-50 on the chalkboard and expect Kirk to say, oh yeah, I'm good with this, because it's just not adding up. Like I said, if the X is where the X is supposed to be, there'll be a perfect pass. Someone heard another analyst who's not, you know, quite as good as us. But
well,
he said,
who could expect it?
Yeah, of course not. They said this morning, and I got to go back and look at the film. You know, we do review the film quite a bit, right? Mm-hmm. That on the intentional grounding, it wasn't intentional grounding, that Ryan Grant was wide open on the side of the field.
Sure.
Right. You know,
mm-hmm.
we gotta take a look at that. So it's not about the position of the X's and O's. It's about how the game flows and how the and just the feel of the game. I mean, this is the perfect quote I heard about Captain Kirk this morning. On the competitors, I'll give them credit too. He said, "Kirk is the best of the good."
Okay, that's right. You know, yeah, that's good. Right.
He's not one of the better. He's not the best quarterback in the league.
No.
He might not be in the top five, but you take your middle range quarterback, your good quarterbacks. He's the best of those guys.
Yeah. He's the best of the average ones. The good quarterbacks.
Yes,
right.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. He's Kevin Stanford. I'm Claude Jennings. Just going through the Redskins' loss Sunday against the New Orleans Saints on the road in New Orleans, 34-31 in overtime, heartbreaking fashion. By the way, Samaje Perine, 23 carries, 117 yards, one touchdown. Seemed like they wanted to stick to the run. It was weird because looking at the Saints had a lot of success running the ball, but did not do it often. As they were getting momentum, they kind of stopped most of the game.
Yeah, that was really weird. And I've seen a lot of coaches do this this season. It's like, maybe they just knew that they had to work on some things. Maybe they said, oh, we got this running thing. Let's work on some of these other things.
Yeah, let's work on something else.
Yeah, like Kobe Fleener didn't catch a pass until the fourth quarter.
Right.
And then he caught, like, but then again, he had Ryan Kerrigan. This goes back. It's so much that we've
Mark
talked
Ingram,
about.
Mark Ingram, by the way, but, you know, 11 attempts, 11 rushes, 134 yards and one touchdown.
It's like a little
with
over
that
11
much success,
and a half.
Like, why are you only running 11 times?
Yeah, it's like, that's like 11 and a half a pop, right?
basically.
Yeah, why? You know, why? Who knows? Because I guess it's Drew Brees, and you got to keep him happy. He said, I'm not going through a game where I only got 190-some yards passing again. But, you know, I like Greg Minuski. I like him a whole lot more than I like the past two defensive coordinators. But this 3-4 defense, man, is going to be the downfall, right? Because number one, we don't have the proper personnel with the injuries this year. We really don't have the personnel to play. And then to have Ryan Kerrigan isolated on coverage on the tight end, right? With today's tight ends who are like over bulk wide receivers, man, that's just not fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to
mm-hmm.
have him, he's got to have one thing in mind, that's going forward.
Right.
That he's going forward. But to have him backpedaling the coverage, that's just wrong. He just shouldn't do that.
Absolutely. Another thing to talk about, Jeremy Sprinkle. His touchdown. Did you enjoy his touchdown celebration?
I enjoyed that. He's probably been waiting for that since high school.
Yeah.
Didn't need the whole mob to come join him.
No. Nope.
Just his,
just
right?
Him.
You know?
Go out there and sprinkle.
And nobody else can do that. No one else can do it without thinking of Jeremy Sprinkle, right? You see, let's see now. If Gronk goes out there and does that, everybody will be thinking about Jeremy Sprinkle, right?
Right?
So,
exactly.
Yeah, I give him the game ball just for that, right?
Jeremy
there.
Sprinkle, you get the game ball, buddy, for that celebration. That was excellent. So now also looking at other other receivers, you know, Dotson, 4 catches, 81 yards. Jamison Crowder, a really big game, 7 carries, 72. Very interested. Again, it's hard to find where on the offense you could improve, except they just did not come through when we needed them to come through.
You know, it's one thing I know they don't have on their roster that I saw a couple of times in the league yesterday, a fullback. Mm-hmm. They don't have one of those big, bulky, you know, like too short to be a linebacker, you mm-hmm. know, too small to be a lineman. 265 type guys who, you know, with no neck, you know, them type dudes, right? Mm-hmm. Bullet head. Mm-hmm. They don't mm-hmm. have one of those. They have like sometimes Niles Paul will line up in the fullback position, but he's 3 years ago, 4 years ago, was a wide receiver.
Right, exactly. Right? Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
The action is different, you mm-hmm. know, in between the tackles, right? So no, they don't have a fullback and in situations like that, especially in the NFC East, right? I mean, they played a dome team in a dome yesterday and
right.
And that was one reason that the Saints didn't suffer being worn down because they didn't have those mud sticking to their cleats and the legs weren't getting heavy after the game. They were playing in the living room for most of the game. So, this the way this team is built, I think this team has been built the same way for the past couple of years with the same results.
Right.
And I think a couple of things got to change. I had a tweet, like at FF Rep, for all you all want to comment on some of this brilliance that we're talking about here. I had a tweet from John Lowry who said, yes, brilliantly asked, I might ask, is Terrell Pryor on the Matt Jones IR?
Right? I think so.
Yeah, what do you mean I'm hurt?
How were you hurt when you hadn't played the last 3 games?
Yeah.
He is going to be the shortest stint at number one receiver that I remember ever. Yeah, I hadn't seen Pryor, but again, this guy was playing quarterback just a few years ago.
And he also tweeted, our best wide receiver might be Swearinger.
Yeah, he had another big game this past game against the Saints as well. And so, yeah, I mean, but again, it's got to translate to a win, 34-31. We've got a packed show today. Look, we want to talk a little bit about injuries. We'll talk about Chris Thompson, what that means for the team. Also, we've got America's favorite feature, Fake News or Not, coming up. This week is Thanksgiving, so of course it will be our un-Thanksgiving, things that we are not thankful for. And then we're going to have Rodney coming in, Rodney Henderson, who is a Giants fan. We've had him on the last 2 seasons, right, on Giants Week.
That might be what the problem is.
So we'll
maybe
have Rodney
getting up there and telling the Giants what we're talking about, man.
Exactly.
Let's find out what's going on.
We'll see what's going on. We'll talk to Rodney. All that's coming up on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
FederalNewsRadio.com. And 1500 AM, dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors.
Researchers are working on a potential new renewable energy source that could do double duty by conserving water, too. The goal is to harvest the power from water evaporation. To do that, Pierre Gentin and colleagues at Columbia University are sandwiching water-absorbing bacterial spores between plates of material that
expand and contract depending on how much moisture you have in the air. That can basically be transformed into a way to generate power.
Gentin says the plates could be spread out on bodies of water, like a lake, and
since you're regulating evaporation, you would actually reduce the amount of evaporation from the lake.
So it could conserve water, and it would actually work best in dry climates. Gentine says the technique has the potential to generate 70% of current U.S. electricity use, but still needs many years of engineering work. More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Terry Crews, actor, former football player, game show host, father of 5, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Join Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller for Ask the CIO, Thursdays at 10 and 2. Hear from your agency's top tech leaders on how they're using technology to change the way you meet your agency's mission. Ask the CIO is a must-listen for anyone who needs to know federal technology policy, implementation, and planning. Ask the CIO Thursdays at 10 and 2 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Download at any time at federalnewsradio.com. Search Ask CIO.
Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. You know, we do this every year. We have our buddy Rodney on, who's a federal football correspondent almost,
yes,
right?
I mean,
for the Giants. He's a Giants fan.
Yeah.
Skins play the Giants coming up this Thursday night, Thanksgiving. Now, again, we know it's Thanksgiving. Next segment, we're having un-Thanksgiving, where we talk about things we're not thankful for. But right now, we want to talk to Rodney. Rodney, how you doing, man?
How y'all doing?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you want to, like, personally, I'm doing good. Like, my life is fine. But as far as football goes, man, we're just kind of confused here. Like, you have a game where, for the most part, you play well until the last 2 minutes when you got to just get one play, one first down. You pick up 1 yard here for a first down, or you complete a pass to get you don't get an intentional ground pass. Just one thing needs to go right in order for you to win this game, and it doesn't go right. So I don't know how we're doing, to be honest with you.
So look, but here's what I need to know, Rodney. Now, the Giants have not had the best season. They have not.
No.
And we're just anticipating them rolling over, just quitting and just letting people roll over on them, right? You know, and Eli, they're calling for Eli's head. But they put up a defensive, like, masterpiece against a team that a lot of people pick for, you know, to go to the Super Bowl in the Chiefs and beat them in overtime. Why haven't the Giants quit?
I have no idea. You know what I think it is? I think they probably had Shawnee Miller come up there for some passing to compete as a professional football player, you know,
mm-hmm.
try to compete just to make things, competitive.
It's,
you know,
wonderful to talk about them not quitting. You know, it's that pride. I mean, at the end of the day, they're all athletes and everybody wants to win. You know, my question, though, Rodney, is as a Giants fan, and you've been following the team, last year they finished the season so strong, and there were a lot of high expectations coming into this season. What has been the reason that the Giants just have not been able to get it going?
I think it's identity-wise, like you were saying about Jay Gruden. Okay, just run the ball. Just, you know, impose your will on your opponent. Run the ball. If they place 8 men in the box, go over top and pass the ball. You know, game of football, simple, right? So I just think identity-wise, Coach, you know, he wants to run Green Bay system, but Eli Manning is not Aaron Rodgers, but Eli Manning has his own, you know, he's a quarterback. He needs to run to help him out to assist, you know, assist his stats and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, right.
Yeah, no, so, yeah, Eli's a student. I mean, having learned from his father, right, he's a student of the complete game of football. I agree with him. And the tradition of New York Giant football has always been a strong running game, whether it was like O.J. Anderson or Joe Morris, right? You know,
yeah.
you had running backs that you
–
yeah, yeah.
Rodney Hampton, yeah.
You had guys you can rely on, right, to keep a defense off balance. Now you have to look at the injury to Odell Beckham. How much do you think that affected him?
Well, it's kind of weird because it's like almost a deja vu. I was watching The late hit on Kirk Cousins, and notice, next thing you know, I thought Kirk Cousins was going to be hurt, and then Chris Palmer get out.
Right, right.
I hate to see that, but I've never seen that, and it kind of remembrance of the body bag game, yeah. Philly against the Redskins. I've never seen wide receivers go down like that, like all three with the same foot injuries and ankle injuries. I've never seen that before, so I guess just sometimes, you know, the cards have been dealt, and that's the way it is, but we just have to pick up and compete. That's what the hard part about it is, just like they were just giving up, and it's like, oh, we can't recover from this, but previous Giants teams, you know, took pride into it, we're going to recover. I remember Clinton Portis couldn't get in the end zone when we went to the Super Bowl that year on the goal line. You remember, Kevin?
Yeah, vaguely. Vaguely. It's a little cloudy, you know, I haven't been feeling well. But, you know, I will say this, you know, you got a point there because the Giants won a Super Bowl with a quarterback named Hostetler, you know, mm-hmm.
right?
Right. You know,
right.
It was a perfect example of the next man up in New York. Now, I noticed that the ticket sales for this game, you know, it's not unusual to have the enemy camp come and visit FedEx Field mm-hmm. on these big games. But I had a report this morning that there was some lower level tickets being sold for as little as $25.
Wow. Are you serious? Wow.
That's the report I read, and this is from a very reliable source. Now, Riley, I know you got plans for Thanksgiving, but we also know how big a Giant fan you are, man. You think your family would consider, like, changing your plans, knowing that you can get like two at the 50-yard line for $50?
You know what? You know, we always can eat later, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, thanks for the 50-yard line tickets. And go to that game, but you get it for $25. So I might say, I might be late for that. right. But it is a night game, though, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. It's a night game. It's going to be in the mid-30s by the time kickoff comes. It's on a holiday night, and neither one of the teams are doing particularly well. And by the way, Redskin fans seems to sell their tickets to anybody who wants to go to a game anyway. And so it will be easy for Giants fans to get there. I mean, you know, this could turn into, you know, Meadowlands, you know, two.
Right, they could very well be having a family reunion out there.
Exactly. Rodney, now tell me this, as a Giants fan, pretty disappointing season right now, because we always try to, it's hard to see the scope of things outside of the Beltway, you know, when you're dealing with just this team. But as a Giants fan, pretty disappointing season right now. Are you looking forward to the Redskins? Like, is this like, okay, good, we should be able to get a win here?
Yeah, for, you know, the talk trash to family, to Kevin and you. So, yeah, you know, they want to win, definitely. But it's just like, if you want to weigh your options, I want to, as a fan, I want to, you know, win. But as a fan in the future, do we want to, number one, you know, top draft pick? Because I was like, never in football I ever did, like, getting tired of watching football. It was like, they're not competing, you know, so, but in the future wise, we, you know, want to win, but draft pick wise, we want to win too.
Hey, well,
so it's like, what do we want to do? Because it's like, big future, what are we going to do? Get rid of Jerry Reese, McAdoo, and Eli Manning. We don't know. In the future, you know, we don't know which way we want to go.
Hey, well, I have it on good authority. We're going to do everything in our power to help you all get an earlier draft. Have you get an earlier draft pick, man.
Right.
Because this is what it boils down to, man. This is the NFC East game in November, right? This is what football is all about. That's why the league decided to put this game on in prime time. I don't like the late Thanksgiving games. I never have. Because you don't want to watch football that late.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, you know, as the Cowboys game hits the third quarter, fourth quarter, I'm almost done watching that. It's like, okay, it's 6:40, it's 7 o'clock. Yeah. I mean, I'm done with this.
I'm ready to watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas and stuff.
Exactly. So, Rodney, before we let you go, man, what are the keys to victory this Thursday night for the Giants?
Keys to victory is run the ball, don't turn over the ball, and sack Kirk Cousins as much as possible.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, from Rodney Henderson, our resident Giants expert. Rodney, thank you so much, man, and happy Thanksgiving, and happy un-Thanksgiving. We'll get into that next segment, though.
Thank you.
All right,
appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Rodney.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Roddy. That's funny. Yeah, we're going to do everything we can to try to help you get that early draft pick. No doubt. No doubt.
We'd like to, but you got to remember who they're playing, man. They're playing the Giants, who had nothing to play for last year. Remember, all we had to do was beat the Giants, who had nothing to play for, and we're in the playoffs. Mm-hmm,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly,
you know what? And that should be the motivation. If nothing else, forget the record, forget the season. That should be motivation.
Right.
Just revenge.
Yeah. From last
This is for last year. You know, something. Make something up. Come on, Kirk.
They talked about your mother.
Something, man.
Yeah, anything.
There's got to be something,
insult somebody,
right?
Yeah.
You want me to come out there and pay my $25 to go to the Lower Bowl to see you? Make it work, man.
Make it work.
That's right.
So what do you think about Roddy's keys to victory for the Giants, and what are the keys to victory for the Redskins?
I sincerely hope that they weren't listening, because that would be it, right? Because if they have a chance of running the ball, it's now, right? It's
right.
Against a depleted team. They seem to have developed some pretty interesting blitz packages that they seem to be taking advantage of. And we want Eli to have to throw the ball, because he doesn't appear to have a lot of confidence in his wideouts. And there is no identity to this team right now. You don't know what's happening with the Giants. So, yeah, stop the run, make them turn the ball over. Hit them long, hit them hard, hit them continuously.
Absolutely, hit them long, hit them hard, hit them continuously.
That's right.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Before we go to the next segment, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about the injuries. I mean, obviously the biggest one from Sunday, very hard to see Chris Thompson, who had just a great year. Many people wondering, well, maybe he should be the feature back, goes down with a fractured fibula, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And
I blame Kirk Cousins for that, by the way.
Okay. And your reason behind that?
Yeah, because Kirk was on a scramble going to the left side trying to gain some yardage. Mm-hmm. If he had slid like a quarterback was supposed to, they would have, they would have eased up. They would have stopped the play. They called a penalty for the guy who was crouched low, launching himself at Kirk earlier in the game. And when Kirk was sliding, now if Kirk had slid, they would have put Chris Thompson in a different position, and it would not have been like the pileup, which actually rolled over onto his leg and broke his leg. So you all look at the film, and we blame Kirk for that. I blame Kirk. All right,
well, there you go. But that's going to be, a pretty significant injury down the stretch here.
Tremendous.
I mean, because anytime it was a 3rd and 12, a 3rd and 10,
right.
Or even just a 2nd and 4, he had the big playability, and from his position, really the only player on the team from that position who has that big play, ability.
But I like P. Ryan in space on the old-fashioned swing passes.
Okay.
Maybe he can't run a specific route, and I don't know if he has the elusiveness to get something out of nothing on a screen pass.
Mm-hmm.
But I like him in space. If he's gets the ball, he's one-on-one. Let me make a special flash interruption.
Mm-hmm.
Breshad Breeland yesterday, when he was isolated on those screen passes. He was a ball-seeking missile yesterday.
Yes,
right?
He was
on it. And that came to my mind when I was mentioning thinking about P. Ryan on those swing passes. I think they got something there if they utilize him in the right fashion, right? They seem to have finally gotten over the fact that Jordan Reed will not be available to him.
Right.
And they used...
Right.
Vernon Davis have even started to sprinkle in a little Nas Fall and sprinkle in a little sprinkle.
Yeah, sprinkle in, yeah.
So, that's a huge loss, man. I feel sorry for our prayers go to Chris Thompson. That's a huge loss, man.
Yeah.
All over the league.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that happen.
Yeah.
So it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. We'll come back with our final segment. We've got a lot of good stuff in this final segment, Kevin. I hope America's ready for it. Ready or not, it's coming.
I'm ready for it.
Ready or not, it's coming. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
An accountant is behind bars for embezzling millions of dollars from his victims, including a client with Alzheimer's. Thomas Houck was an accountant for a Kansas financial management business, and when the company discovered discrepancies, they called the FBI. The investigation revealed Houck stole his client's money and deposited it into his own accounts. Case agent Casey Lidecker says Houck used his victims' money to buy 66 luxury motorcycles and cars.
They trusted him, they befriended him, they consider him part of the family, and he managed to perpetrate this fraud for 10 years at this company.
Investigators conducted search warrants, interviews, and a lengthy forensic accounting of the books.
The forensic accountant on the case was key.
Houck pleaded guilty. In addition to a 9-year sentence, he was ordered to pay restitution. Law enforcement was able to return about $1.7 million to Houck's victims. I'm Molly Halpern of the FBI with the Gotcha Spot, featuring the Bureau's closed cases.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Lincoln once said, "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt." If you are a CIO of a government agency, you know credibility is everything. FederalNewsRadio.com, because it's not just about gathering intel. It's about gathering the right intel. Wisdom, served daily by a team of award-winning journalists. FederalNewsRadio.com. Experience the difference.
It's the final segment of this episode of the Federal Football Report, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Redskins fall to 4-6 on the season after a 34-31 overtime loss to the New Orleans Saints, a game that had win written all over it. Great way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory on this one, because victory was right there. And then you're what at that point? 5-5. The Cowboys lose to the Eagles. They're 5-5. You got a shot at this point. We've got a shot at this point. So this was a big loss. This is a big one.
This is a strange season because, you know, with what's happening with the Vikings, with the Rams,
right.
Seattle, you know, it's possible that a 10-6 team won't make it, depending on how the chips fall. So, you know, they still got a chance mathematically, but, you know, this is
and
a
outside
math,
of the and outside of the Eagles, I mean, there's not really a team that seems to be like, you know, head and shoulders above the rest in the NFC.
And I'm not impressed. I don't know. The Eagles are the best that's happening in the NFC right now. I feel the Bring Me a Goal could have beat them twice.
Sure.
A couple of decisions here and there, a different attitude here and there. I think they could have beat them twice. Now they got to sweep the Giants, and they play them like twice in a month, basically. And they got. If I'm not mistaken, don't they have to play the Giants again on the last game, like New Year's Eve or something like that?
They do.
Mm-hmm. So we got to make holiday preparations to beat the Giants. I don't know what's up with that. So that we got to be unthankful for having the Giants, like you said, for our new segment coming up.
Can't wait for that.
And you know, we got to ring out the old and ring out the Giants, right?
Exactly.
On the Eve, right? So it's not impossible, right?
No.
It's a daunting task, but it's not impossible, right?
Absolutely.
And as a former quarterback here, you know, once said, I'm not giving up yet. We're going to be critical. We're going to tell it like we see it, but I'm not giving up yet. I don't want anybody else out there to give up either.
That's right. We're not giving up. But one thing we're definitely not giving up on is America's favorite segment. It's time for fake news or not, Kevin.
It's time for fake news or not.
Exactly. I give Kevin three questions or statements. He lets me know whether that's fake news or whether it's not, whether it's real. Here we go, Kevin. Question number one for fake news or not. At 4-6, the season is still salvageable, and there's a chance the Redskins can and will make the playoffs.
You know, I would say that was fake news, except that's what I just said. There's still a chance. There's always a chance. Now, I'm not going to say it's a chance because I just want you to get to like tune into the show, because we're going to be here win or lose like every week.
Every week. We've proven that over the years.
There's still a chance, right? You got to look. They've tried. Old folks have tried.
The team has tried to get us off the radio by losing. We're not going to let them do it.
But look here. What's happening is you look and we're gaining depth, right? Mm-hmm. The guys who are playing who wouldn't normally play, like they're gaining experience, right? There's some guys who are being called up from the practice squad out of necessity, mm-hmm. but who knows? These guys might play. Look at Maurice Harris last week, right? They give him a shot, you know, first pass, right? He makes a highlight film for the ages, right? Yeah. You know, and because he got a shot, right? So yes, absolutely, right? We're still in this thing to win it. We just can't have the coach give up on us, and all we need is just 1 yard.
Well, what's the cliche? 1 yard at a time.
Yeah, that's all we got to do.
One yard at a time. And I mean, look, you said at 4-6, sure it looks, you know, a little tough and a little, you know, glib, but you know, a little dim. But yeah, anything's possible. I mean, we've seen this team do something similar to that to
several
will
times.
Off, you know what I mean, several straight wins to get into the playoffs.
In the tragic year when Sean Taylor was killed,
they were in the
same circumstance. Mm-hmm. They had to win out to make the playoffs, and they did just that.
Exactly.
In 2012, they had to win out to make the playoffs,
and that's exactly what they did.
Exactly what they did, leading up to the epic Sunday night matchup with the Cowboys.
Right.
That's exactly what they did. Here we are again. Not unfamiliar territory.
Exactly. With over 100 yards, question number two, with over 100 yards for Piran this past Sunday, does it really matter who runs the ball for this offense?
Oh, that's fake news, man. That's fake news.
Let's pose the question a different way.
Okay.
Out of the running backs that are on this team, does it matter who runs the ball?
You mean out of the ones who are left?
Yes, out of the ones who are left on the team.
Yeah, it matters because you gotta establish some sort of dominance. You got to establish, like, who's the king of the hill and tell these other guys, if you want to get the ball, you got to beat this guy. I noticed something
yesterday. But production-wise.
Yeah, I noticed something.
As long as you're going, if they commit to the run, it doesn't matter who actually runs the ball.
I think it does. Okay. I think it does for a couple of reasons. I noticed this yesterday, and I'm glad you brought it up because I left my notes at home. I noticed that P. Ryan had a great run. It was like maybe 11, 12-yard run. Bounced off a couple of guys, great run. The first thing he did when he got up was look at the sideline to see if they were calling him out of the game.
Instead
of like talking to his lineman, you know,
just
saying,
knowing I'm in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. knowing, yeah, I like this, you know, do this, do that, like establishing that right there. So, and that's what they do. They aren't worried about, I listen to guys like John Riggins. I listened to Clinton Portis, and they said that what they would do is they would like set guys up. Let's say they ran a sweep and notice, and they got some positive yards. They said he knew the next time they ran that sweep that the linebackers would be looking for it, and so they were going to try to get an outside position on them. So he said he would use that to his benefit. Mm-hmm. So knowing that this guy knows this, he'd give him an outside move and then cut it back inside. It was a cat and mouse game, and when these guys going in and out like this, not being able to feel the game or become a part of the game, they don't have an opportunity to work the game like these other guys have.
Right. Wow. Okay, so there we go. That's fake news. Last question in fake news or not is coming up this Thanksgiving night after eating your turkey and spending time with family and friends and reflecting on what you're happy about. Skins, FedEx Field, 8:30 kickoff, 38 degrees. Is 38 degrees at night on Thanksgiving just too cold to go watch a game?
Yeah, that's fake news, man. Okay. That's fake news because it would be if it was a game with playoff implications, mm-hmm. there wouldn't be any problem. People wouldn't think twice about it. It'd be something you tell your kids about. Here's the problem, right? I think that because of the fake news about it being over with, that too many people are starting to believe that, right? And they just already starting to make plans. Like I said, a report saying you can get $25. Mm. So, you know what we should do? As a matter of fact, I'm going to look on StubHub right now
check that out, because we're trying to figure out, like, you know, is that too cold? Are people still engaged or interested in the season? Because we see this every week where the stadium is full of the opponent's, you know, team's fans, And, you know, we're looking at it 4-6. Things don't seem to be going right. It's Thanksgiving night. People are out of town. Selling tickets seem to be what people do around here. Who's going to be at the game? That's what I want to know. Who's going to be at the game? And so you're saying that you're seeing some tickets that are going for about $25.
Claude, the first five prices I see when I pull up New York Giants at Washington 8:30. This isn't a joke. I'm not going to say what section they are. $7.16.
Oh, goodness.
$7.21. Oh, these are all upper deck, but still.
Right.
$8. So let me click on a lower bowl section. $74.
Wow.
$74, man. You know, that's incredible. I saw one that said from $17. $50 lower section.
Wow.
This is $65. I'm talking about right behind the goalpost. Now, this is hard to believe, but right behind the goalpost, right there, like you can
visibly shaking is Kevin Stanfield over this.
$30.43.
Wow.
Right behind the goalpost.
I might go.
Look, and you know what? Every section I roll across, there's some tickets available, right? So
wow.
This is going to be, you know, they got to avoid some embarrassment, man. Monday.
That's the thing.
Nationally televised game. They better have to.
That's the thing.
You better pray some Giants fans show up.
Good night.
That's incredible.
Wow. Redskins fans, what are you going to do?
But you know what? The good thing is, after they hear this show, after they hear that there's still something to fight for and there's something to play for, after they hear this, they'll be motivated. And StubHub.
We have to get our want-to coach to motivate people to buy tickets and get to these games. That's what we need to do.
What's your credit card number, man?
Exactly. Wow. 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 Well, that's it for this edition of Fake News or Not, ladies and gentlemen. It's America's favorite segment.
It's my favorite. I know
But
that.
I feel like America's going to like this segment, too, coming up. So it's Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we sit around the table. We enjoy family and friends. A good meal. Well, most of us enjoy family and friends. You get a good meal, and everybody's happy and joyous, and we talk about what we're thankful for. But this is our edition of Thanksgiving. It's called Un-Thanksgiving. Happy Un-Thanksgiving, Kevin. It's where we talk about things we're not thankful for. I'll go first. One thing I'm not thankful for or grateful for is the NFL sending some notice to the Redskins about, hey, you know that intentional grounding call? We got that wrong. I'm not thankful for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get what you're trying to do, but it's too late. Too little, too late. I'm not thankful for it.
You know, why do they even bother, man? Why do they keep it to themselves? Or maybe say like in the off season or something. You know, how does it read? Like you get something with NFL stationery on, you open it up and says, my bad.
Right. We got that one wrong.
Here's the problem with that. Not only did all the guys on the field get it wrong, but the guys in New York, whoever, you know, got it wrong.
Someone's got to call in and say, hey, stop. That's wrong. It's not intentional grounding.
What if, like, one official, like, after they found that out, they say, look, I tried to tell them, but they wouldn't listen to me.
Exactly. Exactly. That's wild. Another thing I'm unthankful for, and this has nothing to do with football, and I'm not even, it may not even be necessarily for un-Thanksgiving. It may just be complaining about something. You know, when you're driving down the street and there's a red light and you're stopped at the light, and there's like an intersection or a parking lot entrance on that same street, don't block it. Like just stop a full car length or two behind the person in front of you and don't block the intersection. Don't block the parking lot. Yeah. And by all means, see, I don't block it.
Oh, right.
And so don't block it. But then number two, if someone's in front of you and they're not blocking it, don't honk your horn like move up. The light's red. We can't go anyway. And so I'm not going to block this intersection and stop the good people of America from traveling the roads because you want to move up a couple of inches and block an intersection because the lights are red.
Right, because they can get home maybe, 10, 15 seconds earlier?
Maybe. Maybe. And so those kind of people, I am unthankful for.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So, so for instance, I could be very unhappy. I'm thankful for bicyclists.
Right.
Not the bicyclists now who I share the road with, who obey the rules of the road and are very safety conscious, wear their helmets, use hand signals. I'm unthankful for the ones who feel like they can ride on the sidewalk. Not just any sidewalk, not like the sidewalk in suburbia. Right. I'm talking about like the 14th and F Street sidewalks with a dozen people on the sidewalk, walking the sidewalk, doing what you're supposed to do on the sidewalk, which is walk.
Right.
But for some reason, they feel like it's a safety bike lane for them.
Right.
The city has spent millions of dollars to build you people bike lanes, right? To paint little lines on the road with the little bicycles.
Which makes it a little inconvenient for drivers, by the way.
Which they don't care about.
We're going way. Yeah, they don't care about inconvenience. We're going way. way out of our way to make things convenient for you.
And do they not only use that? They're not thankful. They're not thankful. They show how ungrateful they are by using the sidewalks.
Exactly.
Why do that?
What in the world would you do?
Why?
Happy on Thanksgiving, everybody.
Wait a minute. I got some more. We're going to roll.
All right.
We're going to roll. I'm very unthankful. Like, for you go out to eat in a nice restaurant, nice establishment, you look at the menu, and the server comes and explains the entrees and such, and then tells you what they like on the menu.
What I like is it's like, I'm sorry, you dining with us
yes,
today?
Yes, okay. Are you paying for this? When we go out to dinner and you pay, you can get what you want. But this is what I like.
Exactly.
I don't care what you like.
Yeah. Yeah. We're unthankful today.
Yeah, we're very unthankful for
but
that.
But we'll be thankful on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
And hopefully we'll be thankful for a Redskins win. We'll see how that all works out. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Go to StubHub, y'all. Buy those tickets. We all want to see all blue there on Thursday
night. Yeah. Wait. I got some more unthankful stuff.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got some more unthankful stuff. I'm very unthankful for people who don't say thank you at establishments when you go and pay for them. If it's a drugstore or a grocery store or something like that, when you go and hand them large sums of money for things that are extraordinarily overpriced anyway, and you hand them the money, they hand you the change, and they don't say, like, thank you, thanks for shopping here,
thanks
whatever.
Thanks for your time today. Thank you for shopping here.
If I wanted, like, ungratefulness, I just click online, right? Even online, they'll say thank you.
Right. Even the queue, thank you for your order. Here's your confirmation.
That's
et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So, you know, be a little grateful that I choose to come into your establishment and spend my money, right? You know,
this whole un-Thanksgiving thing is taking a life of its own.
That's right. There's so much. How about you, man? I know you got some more
What else am I ungrateful for? You know what I'm unthankful for?
What is that?
You know, in public restrooms, those little hand blow dryer things?
Yeah.
They're unnecessary. Just give me a paper towel. I'm not thankful for those in the least. Just give me a paper towel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because it's quick. You just grab it, you wipe your hands, and you go. You got to stand there, and they take all day to dry your hands, and and then it cuts off, and you got to wave your hands under it some more, and sometimes it doesn't recognize your hand under it, so you still wave it under there like you're a referee, you know, doing intentional grounding call. And so you're trying to
rub your hands over a light bulb, right? Dry faster.
Exactly. So I'm very unthankful for that.
But
that's,
you know, we're very thankful people. But some things we just had to bring the people's
attention. I got a funny story for you too, by the way. And so we ran out of lotion. So my wife goes to get lotion from the store with other things like groceries and stuff. And so I wake up in the morning, had to get to work super early, doing some early morning radio here in the D.C. area. And so I put the lotion on. It smells kind of citrus fruity or whatever, but that's fine. But we normally don't buy that kind of lotion.
Fruity.
I put it on and it feels a little weird anyway. But anyway, I go into work. I get to work. Now, mind you, it's 5 in the morning. And she texts me and says, hey, that lotion I got yesterday. I said, yeah, the fruity smelling stuff. She says, yeah, that was my fault. It was body wash. I'm like, huh? And I couldn't really say anything to her about getting it, because then I didn't look at it and I put it on, so, but I wasn't ashy.
Well, that's true. And you made your own suns. If it rained, you
exactly.
You'd be in good shape. Hey, look, I got, speaking of, we haven't pumped up the Twitter account at FFRep. We got another tweet from our friend John Lowry, and this is very good. We should discuss this. I know we don't have a lot of time. We got to put some thought to this, right? With all the injuries we have to this team, maybe we should start looking at the trainer. That's a problem.
Right.
Maybe,
that's
a
good point.
You know, the trainer is Gruden's son, as well as Gruden's son. Jay Gruden, Joe Gruden, one of the sons, right, you know. And with all the injuries you have to this team.
Is anyone healthy enough? Right.
What is the trainer doing?
Why aren't these guys, like, physically able to make it through a season?
What is the trainer do? What is he for? Right. If he is not able to, like you say, physically not make them excel, but at least keep them healthy enough to last through the season, why is he there?
Why
so
is
maybe,
he here?
Perhaps that's something we should be taking a long, hard look at, because this, we'll go through the, maybe there's something I'll do while I'm watching the game Thursday. I won't have a whole lot to do besides watching the game. But we'll look at the number of injuries around the league and who's had the most players on injured reserve. Maybe we should be looking at the trainer. Thanks, John Lowry. And we're going to have to get you on again this year to give that the fans' perspective. Maybe after the Giants game, to give a reason, to give your hopes and see if we can still run the table. We got to start by winning at home against the Giants on a holiday, right? But that's something we definitely have to look at. What does the trainer do? All right, you lift this enormous amount of weights 50 times.
Right.
And then
your training is over.
Yeah, yeah, you know. And then the guy walks out and he like pulls a hamstring getting into his car or something. Yeah, right? Yeah. Maybe he doesn't need to lift at 50. Maybe 40 is sufficient.
Yeah,
right,
it's sufficient. Just need to stretch a little bit and run. And
let's look at the
training. We'll get our investigative journalism team on this.
Something has to change.
Something has to change. Changing everything from the top to bottom. Right. One thing that won't change is that we'll be here every week for you guys to break down Burgundy and Gold football beyond levels considered scientific. By the way, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.